Welcome and thank you so much for joining us today. So my name's Kay Maddox-Danes and my background is in HR, learning and development and education. And I'm joined by my colleague here, Kate Nudds. And Kate, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, thank you, Kay. Kate Nudds. I'm currently a learning and development recruiter and career coach. My background is talent development and then recruitment for 20 odd years. Let's not add it all up though, because I don't think I want to think about that.
And yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking more about our experiences as we go through the session today, aren't we, Kate? So what we thought we'd do is aim this at people who are looking to get into the HR L&D space, and then from perhaps a initial entry point from leaving school, young graduates, but also from mid-career, then what we're going to do is look at how we might get qualified. And then I'm going to ask Kate a little bit more about her recruiter experience, that we get those top tips for actually getting a job in the profession ultimately. So this podcast is all about how to get ahead in HR and L&D and hopefully secure the job of your dreams. So that's what it's all about. So just to kick us off then, how did you get into L&D, Kate?
That's a good question, because I came in by the back door. So I fell into recruitment, as I said, sort of 20 odd years ago. I actually applied for a PR and marketing position. I'd just finished college, didn't really know what I wanted to do, but saw this role, applied, and the recruiter, it was a lady on her own, she just set up not long before, and she said to me, "You're not right for that role, would you like to come and be a recruiter?" I had absolutely no idea what that entailed. And I said, yes, that sounds great. So yes, I started my recruitment career kind of late 90s, sort of 2000 really. So we didn't really have email, didn't really have the internet. And it was a Rolodex and the yellow pages and a desk and a phone. And that was kind of my entry into recruitment. But I learned so much and I loved being able to talk to people about their careers. So then I actually then moved on and set up my own recruitment agency. So ended up being in recruitment for about 20 odd years. And then I'd had enough of it. I was a generalist recruiter, which it made it more difficult, because one minute you're talking to a PA, next minute you're talking to an engineer, then you're talking to an administrator, and you don't really add any value to any of these people's careers. You're just finding them a job. And I was missing that piece where I was really able to help them. I was just finding them a job, and it just wasn't really working for me. So I left and moved across to a corporate client in their talent acquisition team. So I kind of came away from that agency side of things and moved across into talent acquisition for corporate. And that was good. That was okay. I mean, I learned an awful lot of skills, because I was very much used to dealing with SMEs. And then I moved into this corporate environment, which was a whole new career to learn in itself, really. You know, the corporate language and what was expected from a corporate perspective. Having run my own business, you know, I was then managed by other people and the chain of command. So that was a really interesting time. And then from then, I then moved into talent development. So there happened to be a role in, so obviously talent acquisition sat under HR. We were quite a large HR team, probably 10, 15 of us between HR, comp and bens, talent attraction, and the talent development. So I was very fortunate to take my recruitment experience and kind of my career management experience and move across into talent development. It's not easy. I realized I was particularly lucky that there was an opening that I was able to apply for, and they did an external recruitment process, but you know, I was the right fit. So I was lucky enough to be able to move internally into talent development.
That sounds fantastic. What a lot of opportunities you've had along the way.
Yes, absolutely. And I really found my forte in that role, because I really enjoyed talking to people about, from an internal perspective, about their careers and their career development, their career paths, We got to introduce values into the business. We were working on a management course, so a management program to upskill all the managers. I got to work much more closely with HR than I ever had before. And then from that, I then decided to go and do my CIPD level 7, just so that I could really understand HR as a whole and all the different roles within HR, because I wanted that, A, that credibility, but I also knew that I'd found my niche. Learning and development was absolutely my niche of an industry, and being in that HR field was of interest to me, so I wanted to learn as much as I could.
Wow, that's a whistle stop tour, isn't it?
Yes, that's 3 years of my life.
That is so interesting, Kate, because you know I ended up in HR accidentally as well, because when I first graduated, I decided I wanted to go into straight into education, and I started teaching in a university undergraduate HR related programs. I did that for a couple of years, and then I found what I was doing was basically teaching something I hadn't experienced. I actually found it quite frustrating. So I then, using my teaching experience, got my first job in organizational development for BAE. And my role there, my first role, was the design and delivery of a management development program for all those with sort of managerial leadership responsibility.
Oh, such very similar.
Yeah, exactly. Such a fantastic start. Because then having that exposure to sort of the engineering world then allowed me to progress into a few other roles for example, GEC and Pirelli, and those were really fantastic experiences for them, helping me to grow my experience across the HR generalist side of things too. I thought that was really interesting, because I suppose you've been fortunate, but you've also I think proactively then sort out those other opportunities, and I suppose that it is about just generating that experience, so and also, you know, raising your hand and say, actually, that sounds really interesting, I'd like to have a go.
It's having that confidence. I think that's one of people's biggest sort of downfalls, is that they don't necessarily feel confident that their skills will transfer. But when I looked at the job spec and I spoke to the head of L&D, I realized a lot of what I'd been doing around people's careers and the planning and the coaching was very similar to what they were going to need in that talent development role. The only sort of background I didn't really have was the facilitation, but then I had done Toastmasters, I had done some other speaking engagements, so I that didn't put me off. I thought I knew it was a skill that I could perhaps develop, and sure. So that's what they saw in me as well. So yeah, I mean it was a big leap, because it was completely different, but absolutely was the right move for me, and that's what I would always say to people, is, you know, go for it, have that conversation, even if it doesn't go anywhere, have that conversation with people and try and get some understand what the roles entail, understand what the role will entail, but just think about your transferable skills, because that's so important. You might not tick every box, but you'll be surprised how much you do tick when you think about it.
So what we're focusing on at the moment then is looking at sort of changing career and growing into perhaps different areas in that sort of HR, L&D career space. I'm just wondering then, what about for those who perhaps have an idea that they'd like to pursue a career in HR or in L&D, but actually they don't have any work experience at the moment? So you know, just to help out, what would you say in terms of, you know, so for example, because I know now you're working in recruitment and you're supporting L&D practitioners and those that are aspiring to work in that profession. So what would you say for the, you know, if I come to you and I say, look, Kate, I really want to progress in the L&D career, but I've got no experience. How do I get started?
Yes, it's interesting you say that, because I've been working with a lot of people that have asked me that very question, and some of them are, you know, very junior, you know, kind of almost straight out of college, university with almost no work experience either. And then there's people at perhaps where sort of my level, where they have got full experience in something, but it's not necessarily related to HR. So I'm a huge advocate for those that are happy to go down the apprenticeship route and the kind of starting in a position, but where they can learn on the job as well. I've seen that has worked amazingly for many people, and that gets you into the industry. Albeit at that you know, on that kind of lower level. So that's great for sort of coming out of university, coming out of college. If you can get into an apprenticeship, that is ideal, because you're learning on the job, you're in those teams, you're learning so much, but you're also studying at the same time. For someone who's experienced, and I have a lot of people come to me expecting to transition out of the business that they're in, but again, I'm an example of someone that was able to find a role in the business that I was in. It isn't always about leaving the company that you're in. If the department is big enough, or if you're in a standalone role, you can start to shape that role a little bit as you see fit. So if you're an HR manager at the moment, but you'd really like to move across to L&D, you can start to bring in more L&D programs into the business. You can start to really tailor your role around L&D, and then you make sure that your CV and that your brand, your LinkedIn, everything then matches what it is that you're looking for. So you then start to talk more about learning and development. You take away the HR side of things slightly from what it is that you're putting out there about yourself, and you focus on that L&D. So it really depends on where you want to go, but it is absolutely possible. It's just how you manage that process yourself. And of course, absolutely, qualifications are so key. The CIPD is really key if you're in HR. You've got the L&D side as well if you want to pursue L&D. So I think getting qualified is a really important part of that, building your career. And that's something that you could talk to us about as well, Kay, isn't it? Because qualifications, I mean, you are hugely qualified, and it's something that you talk about an awful lot. So talk to me about qualifications and what people, how they can increase their knowledge through qualifications.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really an exciting time, I think, for education at the moment, because there are so many different ways that you can go. I mean, so absolutely right, Kay, I agree wholeheartedly. The apprenticeship route is a possible way into the profession, and increasingly so, whether you're coming in as a school leaver, you might have a little bit of work experience already, and then you might transfer to an apprenticeship. But certainly there's apprenticeships now being run in the HR and L&D space for levels 3, 5, and 7. So, it is about having a look at what is most suitable to you, having a look at who's advertising, what companies are advertising apprenticeships there. Also, getting qualified, of course, you can do that as an undergraduate. Now, what I would say is if you're looking for a degree, particularly in human resources, then do try and find a university program that includes some form of accreditation, because not all of them do. But what I think is the best outcome is if when you're doing a degree, you're getting your degree plus you're getting a professional qualification, because that will really help you move forward very quickly in your career. So that's the undergraduate level. So more and more universities now are accrediting their undergraduate provision to level 5 CIPD, which is really, really helpful. And then, of course, you've got master's levels qualifications, level 7, and a myth actually is you don't have to have a first degree before doing a postgrad qualification. You can do that through experience. You'll need to prove to the university that you do have the academic credentials to be able to pass, essentially, because universities want you to be able to successfully get through the program, but you can do that through managerial experience, through HR relevant experience too.
And that's what I did.
I
would not, on paper, I perhaps would not have been accepted, however, because of my experience, I was able to do the level 7 But yes, if you looked at me academically, I didn't even pass my A-levels. So to go from that to the level seven, and it was quite difficult, I won't deny, but
yeah,
absolutely the best thing. I'm glad I did level seven straight away without doing three and five.
Yeah, but, it's tough, isn't it? But if you've got the previous experience, then that really supports you so well to get through the programme. And I've often thought, when I've been teaching on level seven, there's two camps. There's those that come in and they've worked their way through undergraduate. They might have got professional qualifications also. So they're very good academically. And then you've got the other half of the group who've got that work experience, and they're able to use that to sort of relate theory to practice. And so bringing both cohorts together gives you such an enriched group. So absolutely, there's something for everyone. And of course, if you're looking at getting qualified now, you don't have to just do that through the university route. There's lots of private providers now who are offering opportunities to study distance learning, blended learning, face-to-face, live online, in the classroom. There's something for everyone now. And I think that's just so fantastic, because it really makes education that much more inclusive. You know, it removes those geographical boundaries. And I'm a big fan of it, everything being much more accessible. And I think that's what COVID has done for us.
Yes, it certainly has.
Yes. It is fantastic, isn't it? You know, so some good always comes out of some crisis, yes. I think. Yes. So yeah, there's lots of different ways to get qualified in HR. But let's then assume then we've got qualified, we've got something, we've made a start, even if it's just a short course, because of course, you know, we're talking quite a lot about credentials now, and we might do a few short courses to show that we're committed and interested in the profession. But what about then, I've got my qualifications, so I'm coming to you now, Kate, and how am I going to get a job? So what is the current landscape? Is it a good time to apply for a job? Because we've heard a lot of talk about the great resignation. You know, does that mean that there's an opportunity for me to be able to apply a job if people are leaving in droves?
Yeah, absolutely. I think COVID was the great reflection, and coming out of that, people have realised what's important to them that perhaps wasn't before. They hadn't really thought about it. They were going through the motions. So many companies are realizing that location is no longer a barrier. So before, you were so tied to where you were located, and now that absolutely isn't an issue. So the world really has opened up for people, and you can see that with the amount of roles that are being advertised. It is an immense time to be looking. It is all recruiters, internal, external, we're all talking about how busy it is. It's the busiest we've ever seen it. As people are moving, that then means that roles are being opened up. So there's this huge landscape for people. And HR roles specifically, there's an awful lot, right from, you know, HR apprenticeships right up through to HR manager and HR director positions, and obviously L&D as well. There are so many roles around at the moment. It's a really good time to be looking, without doubt.
Fantastic. Well, how exciting is that? And what should we do to prepare?
Well, people's CVs are, it's so important, and it amazes me still to this day how wrong people can get their CVs. Even senior people, your CV is the only document that the recruiter, the hiring manager, whoever has about you. And so you have got to showcase your skills and target your CV to that position that you're applying for. And I realize that is quite difficult, because people are firing off applications left, right and center, but it's not going to help you. If you are really interested in a job, your CV needs to absolutely reflect that role. And I see time and time again where people, they write their CVs for themselves. They almost take their job description and put it onto a CV, but you're writing your CV for someone else. So, you know, what is it that you have accomplished in your position? What have you saved? What have you increased? What have you turned around? You know, you really, rather than just writing, you know, this is what I do, it's what's in it for me from that person's perspective that's reading your CV. They're thinking about what's in it for me, what can you do for us? So they want to see the achievements that you've accomplished in your role, and I think that's the often the part that people miss. They don't really realize that that's so important, and I forget that they've done it. You know, those as we were talking earlier, those management projects, that's great, I did those management projects, but what did that do for the business? What did that then enable? That then enabled, you know, retention. It enabled us to attract a different level of people. It enabled us to retain a different, you know, whatever it is, you just need to make sure that you are getting that across on your application, because that's all that hiring manager has about you is that piece of paper in front of them. So make sure that it sells you. And people aren't very good, especially in the UK. We're not very good at selling ourselves. So you've really got to sell yourself. Talk to a specialist recruiter, because they will help you. They'll tell you what the client, you know, is looking for. They should be able to guide you on how to write your CV and how to gear it to that particular role.
And that's, you know, absolutely key, isn't it? It's how we position ourselves, and certainly in the career conversations that I have with people, that comes up time and time again. And the other aspect is, it's this issue of, do I include a photograph?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts, Kate? Do we include a photograph?
Oh, that's an interesting one. From a diversity and inclusion perspective, this is, and we as recruiters, I'm in a lot of different recruiter networks, and we talk about video interviewing and how it hasn't taken off as much as we all thought it probably would, because recruitment hasn't really changed in however many years, and actually there's got to be a better way of doing this. But, you know, we thought it would be CVs would become, you know, void because we're doing video interviews, but then actually again you've got that an inequality there. Are you, you know, recruiting again not on person's skills? It's so difficult. I think that in the UK we don't tend to put photos on a CV. Some of the European CVs automatically seem to include a photo, but over here, is it necessary? No. But then it's on your LinkedIn profile, so all it takes is the recruiter or the hiring manager to go to your LinkedIn profile, and there you are. So it's so difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting you talk there about the video interview, because when I was doing research for my book, I spoke to a number of people about video interviews, and exactly the same. The fear is, you know, we've tried so hard to improve the process of recruitment and selection to make it much more equitable. But as soon as we bring in that video, what are we doing in terms of our equality and diversity, you know? And it because we haven't got it right as yet.
No.
So how far are we going to go in the wrong direction if we pursue that as a mechanism for selection? And I actually do worry about that. I'm very concerned about that.
It is. In some respects, it speeds up the process. It's a brilliant idea. You can gauge someone's personality within, you know, a couple of seconds on the video. But yes, absolutely. What is it that you are recruiting for? Are you recruiting for skill? Are you recruiting for culture fit? You know, what is it that you are looking for? And where is that bias going to come in? Because there's so much bias in the recruitment process. And it's trying to find a way of reducing that as much as possible. And that's a work in progress for us recruiters and for HR and for the whole industry, I think. We haven't nailed it yet. And I think
absolutely. Kate, it's been an absolute delight talking to you. We're coming to the end of our podcast now. Is there any top tip that you would like to share just as a takeaway at the end of this session?
My top tip is think about your career. Think about long term. Start with the end in mind and reverse engineer those steps, and absolutely look at qualifications, because I wouldn't have set up my business now if I hadn't have done the CIPD level 7, if I hadn't have got that credibility behind me. And make sure that you are really, really understand where you want to go in the future and what you want to do with your career, rather than just looking online, seeing a role, applying for it. I'm a massive advocate for career planning. And I think a lot of us don't tend to plan our career. We tend to job hop. And so, yeah, it's all about the planning.
And you know, I did hear that we spend more time planning our holidays actually than our career.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
So that is good advice indeed. And I'd like really just to end by saying there is no one right way to get into the profession, to advance in the profession. Have a look at what other people are doing, how they have progressed. Don't forget also the value of having a mentor or a buddy, somebody you can talk to. Join lots of networks. And my last top tip would be to shout from the rooftops. Tell everyone you know about your aspirations for the future, because with the networking, there will be somebody that knows somebody that will be able to help out.
Networking is key, especially in the HR and L&D industry. I think that we want to network, and it's just finding those groups and forums and how to network. So yeah, absolutely. Your network is your key.
Absolutely key. Kate, thank you so much for your time today. An absolute pleasure as always. And I do hope that all of our listeners will have found some of our chat of value, and we look forward to keeping in touch with you. So do connect with us via LinkedIn. We always enjoy seeing how you progress. So fantastic. Thanks so much.